Welcome back to Forward Pressing, episode 93. It is a beautiful July 23rd, Sunday morning. I'm Kevin, one of your hosts. I got Yanis over here. How you doing, bro?
What up?
Oh, man. Okay, so we're recording this on the next day after the Arsenal and Man United friendly game, quote-unquote friendly game. Never a friendly game between us two. I'm not going to talk about that too much today, but I just wanted to get that in there because United with the masterclass. Who thought that Declan Rice would get pocketed in his first performance in an Arsenal shirt? Who thought?
We would just say we weren't going to talk about it too much. I'm not going to say too much about it. It's fine. It's a preseason game. I'm all right.
He's 100 mil. Dang. Versus an academy player. Dang. We beat y'all twice in the penalties too. I see how it is.
Bro, that was they should have just not do the PKs. That was just practice at this point.
It's an American thing. They wanted to like, ooh, we're doing penalty shots. I don't know.
I don't even know who to blame. Like, who decided that?
You decided beforehand. I'm not sure. But we got a lot to talk about today. We'll talk about some transfers. We got some rumors. We got some confirmations. The Women's World Cup is on. Pretty exciting. We'll skim over the Dele Alli interview because I think that's important. I think it kind of shed a light on a situation that a lot of people were always curious about like kind of what happened there. And I think that interview really like opened up a lot of people's eyes. And then we'll talk about some CR7, some Messi, some MLS, some Saudi League. We'll touch on that. But
trendy topics.
Yeah, the trendy topics. It's important to talk about it. But, I mean, let's start with some transfers. Let's go with Arsenal first, since, you know, my main man over here, Arsenal man. How do you feel about your transfer window so far? Because Declan Rice, I think that's the big one, right? That's the biggest transfer of the summer, money-wise, anyways.
I would say so. So far, I really can't complain. I think that, obviously, we're going to talk about a lot of teams' transfer windows this year, but I think so far we have the best one. We've had the best one. I think we filled all our needs. I think the only thing that we're missing right now is mainly like an attacking option again. But outside of that, I'm pretty satisfied. I think Arteta's done a good job. I mean, Arteta and Edu's have done a great job. They got their guys.
So give me the names of the players and how you think they're gonna impact the squad and why it was important to get them.
Well, Declan Rice, I mean, obviously, he's a midfield maestro. He just dominates the midfield, and he's got the engine. Obviously, a lot of prem experience, and he's just a big addition to the team. I think we're going to lose Partey to the Saudis again, so we definitely needed a boost in midfield. Timber is just a versatility. He's a technical defender, versatile, right back, center mid sometimes, too. So it gives you a lot of different options in the defensively, and it feels like that's also the case with almost all of our center backs, or basically all the defenders, are that they're pretty much versatile and can play multiple positions at the same time. So it's an efficient. He's an Arsenal type player already. Depending on how you want to play,
I like Timber a lot.
Yeah, he just fits, and Havertz is the one that like okay we don't. You don't really know because of obviously you're judging him from the Chelsea days. But I think that, like a lot of people have said before, we can get the best of him because we'll play him in some sortly in his best position, I think, which wasn't a striker.
What do you think his best position is? Like a false nine?
I think, I mean, ideally a 10, but in the system that we have right now, it's probably going to be around a pivot of an 8 with Odegaard. So, number 8, most likely.
What do you think the best formation for Arsenal is, like, in the starting lineup-wise? Like, if you had to choose, like, your four attackers, like, are you playing like a 4-2-3-1?
I would probably go 4-3-3.
Okay, 4-3-3. So, what's your top 6 look like?
So, assuming that with the team that we presently have, we'd have Martinelli on the right. Jesus up front, you would have Saka on your. I mean, sorry, Martinez on your left. Jesus up front, Saka on the left. Odegaard and Havertz as a pivot, and Rice in behind them.
So you're playing like a inverted triangle for that midfield three.
I would, yeah, exactly.
With Declan Rice behind Odegaard and Havertz. Okay, I see what you mean. I think that would be solid. I think that would be really solid. Do you think that's what Arteta is going to go with?
I think that's one of the options. He's definitely had different all the possibilities, but that's one of them.
Okay. Yeah. I mean, listen, you guys spent like 200 mil already. So I kind of feel like you guys are done spending, unless I don't know how you would spend more.
Mbappe next, bro. I'm telling you.
Oh, yeah. Mbappe's going to Madrid. We're going to talk about him. Mbappe's going to Madrid. We all know it. I'll talk about some Man United news. I mean, the big ones for us, Onana, Mason Mount. Listen, what I will say is I'm sad De Gea is gone. It's like end of an era because through thick and thin, we've had some really bad years overall as a club, and De Gea has always been like one of our best players. That kind of just goes to show how bad the state of the club is when your goalie is like the best player. But he just, I feel like he didn't elevate his game to the modern game where, you know, the goalie is really involved in the build-up play, giving proper passes and being able to play with the ball at his feet. Like, I saw somebody tweet saying, like, Varane is going to be, like, he's going to go crazy when he receives a ball on his, like, strong foot for the first time or whatever. Yeah, so I was like, well, that's the thing with De Gea. I was kind of always felt like panicked a little bit when he did have the chance to have the ball on his feet. But Onana, that's his game. He's like, give me the ball. He'll take it upfield. He'll make a good pass. He'll make a long ball. So I'm really excited to feel like Ten Hag finally got his goalkeeper and to see what he can do with that. I'm really excited to watch. It was kind of sad that we didn't get to see him in the friendly game yesterday, but I'll be patient. Mount, I think, is just a really good midfield option. Like, he has some attacking threat to him. It kind of felt like we're getting Chelsea's leftovers, but I really feel like he has a lot of talent. And if Ten Hag wants him, then I believe that he has an opportunity here to get the most out of him. We still need a striker. We're really strongly linked to the Atalanta striker.
Hoyland.
Yeah, I think that's the main guy we want. I know PSG are really interested as well, so I think we're trying to get that done before PSG can even like get in the game. I would be really happy with that. I'd be really happy with that. Because I think he's young and I think we can mold him to how Ten Hag wants, and he already has a lot of potential. Yeah.
He's a United fan too, but that's just his best.
Is he actually? I didn't know that.
I think so. I mean, people say that, but you know, you gotta actually check that it actually is facts. I like him a lot too, so I think if he does end up going to Old Trafford, it'll be a great signing for you guys.
The thing is, I don't know who we get if we don't get him. We're not really linked to any other names right now, so.
Yeah, and you need somebody.
Yeah, exactly. We need somebody. We absolutely need somebody. Fabrizio said that once we get the striker settled, we're going to look for another midfielder option. Listen, Mbappe is on the market right now after big news yesterday. I think he's going to Madrid, but if there's any chance, there's even like a 1% chance that Mbappe is available to come to United, I think we're going to be used as leverage anyways, so might as well get some talks in, but we'll see. Because Mbappe at Old Trafford, ooh.
Fingers crossed.
Liverpool, McAllister, Szoboszlai.
Oh, you said it right.
Yeah, I know how to say it. I just can't type it. I think Liverpool will have a strong season. What about you?
I think they will, but I'm just noticing a lot of exits.
Yeah, they lost a lot of players. They lost a lot of players, so their depth is kind of gone. But their depth that they're losing wasn't like anything crazy. I feel like they're losing a lot of players that were like already kind of like on the decline or like aged out a little bit. They just need to bring more young blood in.
I still think they need to bring a couple more midfielders. I'd say maybe two or one or two, just because this isn't. I don't think this is enough to hold them up for a whole season. And outside of that, I mean, to get those two already in the first place is pretty good business.
I think a top four of like City, United, Arsenal, Liverpool is probably. Like in a different order or whatever. I think those are probably going to be the favorites for top four again, because I feel like Spurs will take a step back if they lose Harry Kane especially. Chelsea, I kind of feel like they're a little bit all over the place, but that would be the other team that I would put up there. And then there's always like a dark horse team or two that are kind of making that push. So Newcastle.
Newcastle can't sleep on Newcastle.
Yeah, can't sleep on Newcastle. Except they're gonna lose Saint-Maximin, so.
Dude, if that happens, they're saying that they're getting a Harvey Barnes, which like it's a good option, but I don't know if that's like a Saint-Maximin weighty replacement.
Yeah.
But I mean, Leicester's selling a lot, so you get if the money's there, you might as well go for him. He's a solid player. But yes, I mean, he just puts him in the every day. This is a new guy that I'm like not expecting to go to the Saudi league that just goes, and I'm like, damn.
Yeah, the money is really good, man. No, you can't blame him for that.
You can't blame him for that though. If your cash is there, you might as well go for it. Just because this one's kind of surprising because, like, obviously Newcastle was going to be in the Champions League this season, so I sort of thought that he was going to be one of them.
They must have given him a bag.
I guess if the bag is bigger than the Champions League, which is fair.
I mean, at some point, you just gotta, if you haven't made a bag yet, at some point, you just gotta make the executive decision, like, it's now or never, like, and you can set up your kids, taking Saudi money, so, yep. Give me the PSG rundown.
They actually made a lot of moves. Asensio, Hernandez, Skriniar, Kangin Lee.
I love Asensio. I feel like he didn't really have his time to shine in Madrid because there was a lot of mouths to feed, and I feel like he dealt with some injuries. But I've always liked Asensio a lot.
Long range he's one of the best ones. Long range in terms of long range shots. I really like Kangin Lee. I think that's the one that I'm interested the most in. I've seen him a lot when he was in Mallorca and also Valencia. So he's an up and comer. I don't know if PSG was the right move, but we'll see. He's like a number 10 / winger. He can do a lot of good things. I'm looking forward to see where he plays and how it works. Ugarte as well. Mitchell from, I think, Sporting Lisbon, Uruguay. And that's another plus in the midfield that they needed. They're actually getting like decent players now. It's just a matter of like, okay, can Luis Enrique make a team with that?
It's always about the team, and like they've had the star players, right? So it feels like that's not the problem there.
And it didn't work. These are guys that aren't necessarily the stars, but they can definitely become stars. So I'm looking forward to see what it is. I mean, obviously now, I mean. The thing is with PSG, like, that's not even... I mean, you're getting those five players, which is great, but that's not even the biggest issue in the team right now. Because we don't know who's going to be leading the attack. When Neymar is there, but most likely not going to be Mbappe.
We know it's not going to be Mbappe. We know it's not going to be Mbappe because they said, all right, you didn't sign your contract extension, then leave. You're not bigger than the club, leave. Where they were, like, fucking recruiting the president or the prime minister of France to make him stay last year. Now they're like, get out. Is that how the tables turn, you know?
I have a bad feeling that, I mean, they might consider the Saudi option.
That's the thing, though. Can Mbappe say no to get sold somewhere if he doesn't want to?
I think, I don't know if he can say no, but he can, like, not agree with them in terms of the fees and stuff. Like PSG could agree with any Saudi club, but if Mbappe says no, kind of like Lukaku did. Lukaku said no too. I think it would be a similar case, but like, still, I just hope it doesn't
happen. Mbappe's going to Madrid. He's going to Madrid, and he's gonna play with Bellingham, and he's gonna play up top, and he's gonna be so good, and it's not gonna be fair anymore.
We just gotta make it. They just gotta make it happen somehow, some way.
It's unfortunate. The rich get richer.
Make it happen. The rich get richer.
Milan. I really like the Pulisic signing. I told you I was feeling MLS vibes. I feel it would have been like the boy comes home type of thing. But I think Milan is a really good fit for him. I mean, they took a step back this season after winning the league. But I think he's a really good like attacking option. And it gives him an opportunity to kind of like play with a little bit less pressure on himself. And maybe find his game again a little bit.
Yeah, I mean, it was you and Landon Donovan that had that idea of like whole him being going back to MLS.
Masterminds.
I mean, completely disagree with that statement, with that opinion. But hey, it is what it is. I like the move as well. I just think that he needed something a new start. Milan seems like the right place to be at this point, just because of how. Yes, they're not as good as they were the year before, but the talent is still there. The team is still efficient, and they can definitely compete for trophies, at least in the Serie A sense. So, and he's gonna play, like he's gonna play for sure. So, I think it's on him now to prove that like Captain America is only not just a nickname, and like it actually shows on the pitch and stuff. Because he's been efficient with the US, I'd say the team for the most part, but the club wise, it hasn't really worked out since Dortmund. Like Chelsea was okay, but there was like a few periods of like injuries and I guess a lot of inconsistencies, which I hope that gets fixed with Milan. Just because obviously you'd want to do better than he did at Chelsea, basically, is what I would hope.
I think he will. Especially with the way his Chelsea career ended, I feel like he just needs a fresh start. I feel like Bayern low-key making more moves this season than they have in years past. And I think it's, Harry Kane, it's nothing official, but they basically said, like, we want him. We just really need the Tottenham people to throw us a bone and actually talk to us because they're trying not to make it happen. But I think if they get Harry Kane, they got Kim Min-jae. I think that's great. I think Bayern are going to be another force this season again. Didn't they get one more player? I'm forgetting.
Laimer.
Yes, Laimer. And Laimer's always been good in the Bundesliga, so.
Like, I mean, it's another case of, like you said, they're rich getting richer.
Yeah, they just pick whoever they want from their own league and they sign them, pretty much.
The Kane one is interesting, though, because I'd expect more updates. Did you see there was a reporter, a German reporter that came to like the Spurs press conference? I think they were in Australia for preseason, and he came with like a Bayern jersey with a cane, with the canes on it.
No, I didn't see.
The coach, Postecoglou, was like not like about it at all. He did not like that.
I can imagine.
So yeah, I don't know. I don't know if we don't even know if it'll actually happen. Just because I don't see Harry Kane leaving Spurs for the Bundesliga, even if it's Bayern.
The Bundesliga always kind of seemed odd for him, you know. I don't know. I saw another Prem team as the most likely option, but if not the Prem, yeah. Like the Serie A, La Liga, but Bayern really want him, and it kind of seems like he wants Bayern from, like, Bayern wouldn't want him this bad if they knew he didn't want to go there, you know? That's what I'm thinking. So, anyways, we'll see. But Madrid, they didn't make big signings, but they're going to get Mbappe, so that's big enough.
Well, I mean, I would consider Bellingham a big signing.
I mean, besides Bellingham, I mentioned him earlier.
Arda Güler is one for the future. Very promising player. I mean,
that's what they do. One for the future, always.
For the future, and then Fran Garcia is just a left back that he needed, so he'll start now. He's a solid player.
And now they get Mbappe.
Man, if they get Mbappe again.
Again? What do you mean again?
I mean again, but like if they actually get him for real this time, like not just agree and not show up, but like the club. The signing, they can go to the press conference. It'll be crazy.
I know.
For some reason, I feel like PSG is going to find a way to like ruin that.
I mean, PSG don't want to see him go to Madrid, but he's going to go to Madrid. And they're going to get their money, and they'll be happy, and they'll move on.
Yeah. And use the money and reinvest it in the team and actually be, say, competitive. That's the best case scenario.
Yeah, we'll see for their sake. All right, let's talk about some Women's World Cup. We got almost one game for every team in the group stage at this current very moment. What are your thoughts on the first couple of games that we've seen, the noteworthy ones?
My favorite game so far was the Haiti England game. I didn't expect much from Haiti at this point, just because it is their first appearance in the World Cup, and England is, I guess, one of the most experienced teams. But Haiti to me was the better team for the majority of that game. The fact that they couldn't get a goal is kind of unfortunate because they deserved it so much. I thought they should have won the game, honestly. They lose 1-0. Kind of concerning from England's perspective, but like you got to give a lot of credit to Haiti. I just thought they were the better team. Speed, they just had speed. They were overwhelming in the midfield and attacking-wise. But like the final third, that final product, the final finish just wasn't there, which is unfortunate. I think they'll recover. Hopefully, they'll manage to qualify for the next round. So that was my surprise game of the tournament. My favorite team so far is Japan, though. They just dominate. Zambia never had a chance. I mean, it is Zambia, so you're gonna say, okay, maybe it's not one of the strongest teams, but still, to put five on them is still a big achievement. especially in the first game of the World Cup. So credit to Japan. I think they're probably going to be one of my finalists. I want to say they're going to be my finalists to go all the way. USA is the US. You know they're going to dominate too. But they didn't look that comfortable against Vietnam, to be honest with you. From what I saw, Vietnam was very physical, which I didn't expect. And I think it caught the US by surprise a little bit. But I mean, they managed to still get the 3-0 win, which is fine. But I guess they have a couple question marks here and there. But for the most part, they should also be going at least to the semis. Canada's a bit of a question mark right now, just because of how the first game went. Nigeria is obviously one of Africa's best team, but you would still expect Canada to get the win here. I guess, but that didn't happen. The group is tough because we get the host, Australia, and then Ireland, who played hard against Australia, even though they lost. I don't know how that one's going to go because we need the 3 points badly. We need at least the 3 points.
I'm going to tell you, I kind of feel like we're going to bow out pretty early. I don't know why. I feel like we're not making the quarters.
It wouldn't surprise me, but I want to say optimistic. It is Canada, so you got to say. And we've done better. I think our best showing was quarterfinal.
We won the Olympics last time.
Yeah, we won the Olympics against Sweden, who almost lost today to South Africa. I think they lost, actually. I have to check the result on that one. But yeah, for the most part, I don't know how Canada's going to do it, just because of how underwhelming the first game was.
I know. It made me scared. But I think this is like Japan's tournament to lose almost.
Yeah. Australia's going to be a dark horse because they're at home. So you've got that home advantage with them almost every game. So does New Zealand. But for the most part, I'm looking forward to see what the Final Four looks like. I think most likely it'll be Japan and the U.S. I want to put England in there and maybe the Netherlands. The Netherlands, they got to the final in 2019, so they could also show up again. I'm between Netherlands and Australia for the Final Four pick.
I see that. I think... Final four, I would put USA, England, Japan, and I don't know why the French are kind of tantalizing to me, but Netherlands could also be in there. I just don't think Canada's making it. And if I had to choose another team not to make it, I would put England not to make it. I think
Japan... France, I mean, France lost.
Go ahead.
Drew to Jamaica today.
So that's not very, that's not a very good result.
Which is not a good result. They'll bounce back, but for them to go all the way, I don't know. Because I think they have to go through either the U.S. or Japan at some point. I have to double-check the bracket, but...
And those are big matchups.
Well, the more I think about it now, I don't know if I still want to put the Netherlands as well. Because they play okay against Portugal. Then Australia's at home, so you want to think about the home advantage. Maybe I will change my bracket and put Australia instead of the Netherlands, just for the sake of it. Yeah, I'll do that. I'll say the U.S., Japan, England, Australia.
You think Australia's making the run, eh?
Yeah, I think they might make a run. They won't win it, but they'll make a run.
All right. Let's talk about this Dele Alli interview. This was kind of not surprising to me, but it kind of caught me off guard a little bit. I wasn't expecting this interview to drop. I don't know if I was just out of the loop. But man, I mean, listen, we're not going to touch on all the topics because it's a lot of pretty sensitive material. You kind of just feel for Dele, man.
Yeah. I mean, we just saw a part of him that we really didn't know about. And like I said, like you said, a lot of sensitive stuff that we won't obviously touch on, but I would encourage people to go watch it. Just, I think it can be eye opening for some. Me, I guess my biggest takeaway is that once you get off the pitch, we don't really know about you and what you go through. So it is hard to not necessarily judge, but like obviously football fans won't really think about it. Because when they tweet and when they talk about people, it's really just with emotion, which kind of is not really good at most for the most part, but maybe just take a second to like maybe not judge. It's just hard to ask for people nowadays.
Just like, don't forget that there's a human behind the person you're seeing on the TV screen, you know?
Yeah. I think that's the best way to put it. But to be fair, I mean, that's the problem from the global game overall. Like, every time there's a, like, we've seen it with like the racist comments after PK misses. Maybe like Saka went through hell after the Euros. So did Rashford and Sancho, right? That's just one of the many examples. I mean, it's kind of different, but it is still like, I guess, fans misbehaving in a sense, put it lightly. Like you said, we don't really, like, I mean, like you said, we can't forget that, like, at the end of the day, like, yeah, people make mistakes, but like, at the end of the day, they're all humans, and there's got to be a way.
And he went through some serious shit, and like, everybody was, you know, we've all been there, kind of like just commenting on how like the downfall of his career is kind of just very confusing, you know, because like, he was at the top, it kind of seemed like he was super ambitious and like had a bright future ahead of him, and then suddenly, you know, like, he's kind of like going from like not playing, he's not even in the squad, like some off the field stuff. He's going to clubs that he's like, usually you would think he's way better than, and then he's not even playing there. Kind of just felt like a spiral for him, and you know, you kind of really feel for him, but then you kind of learn, they peel back the curtain a little bit and you get a view of what's happening behind the scenes, and it's kind of just like, dang, you kind of feel bad that you know you've said the things that you've said in the past or whatnot, or criticize him in a certain way, because you know, you just don't know what they're going through off the field. Like, we even saw this with like Sancho a little bit when Ten Hag kind of like took him off the field and told him kind of like, you know, he was training separately and not playing as much. A lot of people kind of felt like, oh, like, look at him, another wash transfer or whatever. But like, didn't Sancho also like lose his dad or something, or he was going through some like serious shit off the field. And it's just like a little reminder, like, don't forget, like, these people are human beings, like, they go through stuff as well, and it impacts their performance. Like, if you have a bad day or something, your performance is going to be impacted at work or whatever you're doing throughout the day. Like, these people are the same, you know? So,
yeah. Like you said, well, I mean, I don't know about the Sancho story yet. I'd have to check, but we get this privilege of, like, whenever something goes bad with us, we have this opportunity of, like, not showing up and staying in our corners and, like, basically not, I guess, showing a presence. Whereas they have to be on the field, I mean, daily, really. They can't really grieve in privacy, whereas we get that privilege. And that kind of sucks on their part, because obviously we... judging him after a bad game, not knowing stuff in behind the scenes is like, okay, what can you really do here? You can only take the hit, because, like you said, you don't... and I'm sure you don't want to talk about it, too. But not everybody's going to have the courage to do a Dele Alli type interview every time something happens.
Yeah. So it's just kind of just like, everybody needs to take a step back and kind of just like, I mean, be a good person and don't like heckle these footballers because they had a bad performance to your liking or whatnot, you know? Like,
everybody's got a bad game. Everybody's got a bad day at work at some point.
All right, let's talk about CR7. Saudi League versus the MLS.
Saudi League versus the MLS. I don't even know if it's a competition. Was that you? Was that me?
Oh, that was you. It wasn't me.
That was me. Okay. Well, I think he was wrong on his comments. Let's just say that. I don't think the Saudi League is better than MLS. The thing is, in terms of viewership, like, I've never seen a Saudi League game. I've only seen the highlights. I don't really know how to find Saudi League games. Do I want to find Saudi League? I'm not really interested into it. So I'm kind of biased to saying that MLS is probably the better league, just because obviously I watch it most of the times, or a lot more than I watch the Saudi league. So his comments were kind of like,
I mean, he's gonna talk up the league that he's at, right?
Yeah, he kind of has to.
But also, like, I mean, everybody knows they're just going for the money.
To say that he's the main reason why people show up there, it's kind of naive.
Yeah. I mean, listen, like, he's going to say what he's going to say. I'm not surprised, but I think, like, listen, a lot of players are going to Saudi. but Saudi does not have like the reputation for being a destination for players to go to. It was very recent. He was one of the first. There's players that have gone in the past. We just haven't heard of them anymore. Or China, same kind of thing, you know? So I think him going definitely helps the league get more light on it and definitely more eyes. But I think there's no doubt that when you see the price tag that these players are going for and the wages they're making, I feel like you can't help but say that money is the biggest contributing factor to the decision making as to why a player would go play there. I saw some of the teams getting stacked now,
which is not, but that's also not a bad thing.
No, it's not a bad thing. We're not saying that, oh, these players shouldn't go get their bag. It's kind of just like call for what it is, you know?
Yeah. I think Ruben Neves had an interview recently where he mentions that, like, why instead of staying in Europe and maybe go to another season with Wolverhampton, I chose this is because I want to give a life to my family that I'll never get the opportunity again, basically, is what he said. And you can only...
To make that amount of money? Oof.
You can't really argue that. That's a personal choice. And, like, to be fair, too, like, if you're not going to be in one of the big six team, which is the dream of almost every footballer, like, at that point, sure, go for the money. Like, if you're not going to play for City or Liverpool or Chelsea, you might as well go for the cash at that point. Like, not everybody gets to play for Chelsea or Arsenal or United or Barca or Madrid, stuff like that, right? So at that point, like, okay, you make decisions and live with them. And I think, for the most part, none of them will have regrets about it. We don't know if we'll watch the games. Like, I don't know where to watch. Do you know where to watch Saudi League games?
They're not really accessible to us here in North America.
Yeah. I don't even know which network to go for and, like, look at that, because nobody is showing it. But, like I said, compared to what the comments, in terms of the MLS part of the comments, I just think it's flat out wrong.
Yeah, I think MLS has really come a long way. It's not. It used to be viewed as just a retirement league for Europe's stars. Now I feel like a lot of players are... The quality of the league has taken a really big step up with... I feel like a lot of young talent from South America it goes to the MLS early on. We're seeing more players go to the MLS in not necessarily the very end of their careers, but then we see still players like... I mean, Messi, we're going to talk about it now. Messi going to Inter Miami. His first game, you know, he's starting off the bench. There's like all the American celebrities and stuff are at the game watching. People used to say, like, who's more famous, Messi or this American celebrity? These American celebrities pay top dollar to go watch Messi play, and they're taking pictures of him on their phones while this man gets subbed on in the 65th minute and then scores. Free kick, game winner, 94th minute in extra time, game winner on his very first game at the club. Like, the script writers went off. They couldn't do anything better.
The script writers went off that day. They had a ball that day. They went off.
And what a free kick it was. We've seen him do that many times before. It was perfect. Top corner. People were saying the goalie was like maybe out of position. Nah. The wall was covering the whole left side. The goalie was watching the right side. And Messi put it right at the top corner. Like, nobody's saving that. It's just beautiful. It's Messi. And there's nothing you can say because I think everybody knows he's the GOAT now. He's literally put the rumors to bed. Ronaldo went crying to the Saudi League. It's over. Messi got his World Cup. He got all the international trophies. Oh, sorry, I'm ranting right now. I just love the man. I love the man. The beautiful game.
I thought you were in Miami that week. I thought you were gonna see you in Miami that week this week, on Friday.
I will own an Inter Miami Messi jersey at one point when they're not like completely sold out, because I feel like they're all completely sold out. One day I will go watch an Inter Miami game, maybe this season, hopefully. But tickets went from $25 to like $500. It's ridiculous. It's ridiculous.
It's stupid. Yeah, it's ridiculous. Let me ask you, though. Who had the best reaction to the goal? Have you seen any of the reactions? Like, live?
David Beckham. Just living in the moment. Sheds a tear of joy because he knows his investment just quadrupled.
Beckham. I think it's either Beckham or Serena Williams too. Yeah, she had a pretty shot.
Yeah, she was. Yeah. Did you see Speed's reaction?
Yes.
If Messi scores this free kick, I'm a Messi fan. And then he scores. Man pulls off the Ronaldo jersey with a Messi jersey under it. Listen, you love or hate Speed, he's entertaining sometimes.
I didn't think he was going to be at the game because I thought he was loyal to Ronaldo, but when Messi shows up, even...
Not anymore.
Even Speed's got to be, like, recognized game.
And I want to say, like, we're all talking about Messi for sure, but Busquets had, like, a really good game. He was playing some top-tier passes. Like, he's... I feel like Man's just going to, like... The MLS is perfect for him. He doesn't have to break a sweat. He can do it all with just one flick of the pass. And,
But they're gonna make him break your sweat though. Like they're gonna plan for
him. You think? I don't know. I feel like the MLS like perfectly suits his game, especially with like. I mean, they're recruiting the old Barca team. I saw a post yesterday saying Andres Iniesta agrees personal terms with Inter Miami. It's just a matter of time until he ends up there too. Man's probably like 40 years old.
Yeah, a friend sent me that too. I didn't believe it. I didn't think it was true. There's no way he's 38 years old. Like, what is he? He just left Japan to go to the MLS.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I don't even know if he's... Is he still playing? Like, I don't even know. He was coaching, no?
Oh, he was playing.
Okay. In the Saudi League, right?
And not in Japan. He saw Kobe.
Oh, in Japan. Didn't he end up going to the Saudi League first?
No.
Oh, okay. And what about Suarez? We're hearing some buzz for Suarez. I saw, I forget who he was, saying that why would they go for Suarez when Suarez can't even... play for his own team in like wherever he is, Brazil.
Yeah, it makes no sense to go to Suarez. You have Josef Martinez as a decent striker option. I don't see why you would go for Suarez, especially if you're gonna have to pay top dollars for him because he's like not worth the money at that point. I understand Jordi Alba though. I can see why you would go for Jordi Alba.
Yeah, Alba will be nice. I mean, listen, they're recruiting all the Barca retired players like fucking Infinity Stones.
Next thing you know, Ronaldo is going to sign them too.
But yeah, but listen, we're nearing the end of our time. I just want to say before we do end it, I think David Beckham single-handedly caused the success of the MLS in its entirety. In its entirety. Whoa. David Beckham.
Whoa, this is a big statement right there.
David Beckham going to LA Galaxy as the first big name European player to the MLS completely changed the trajectory of this league. It created the option of this, like, it made the fact that this league became an option for players after that. When somebody from David Beckham's stature and quality goes to a league, it raises eyebrows and everybody kind of like, oh, okay, it's just the MLS. Nobody cares about it. The MLS was kind of new. It was really not what it is today. But with LA Galaxy, he like, I mean, I had a David Beckham LA Galaxy jersey.
You did have that.
Yeah, most of us did, I feel like. And I that literally saved the league when he went there. And now, you know, he invests in the club like almost a decade earlier. Invests in the league, sorry, gets a club. And now they're the worst club in the league. And, you know, they signed a couple players. And now, you know, everybody's watching the MLS now because of one dude. It's just, I feel like David Beckham literally saved the MLS.
But I'd have to check my history, but if I remember correctly, when he signed...
If David Beckham doesn't go to LA Galaxy, like, how many years ago it was, we're probably not here today talking about this.
I mean, we'd have to debate that. I think it's an interesting question, though, because I do remember when he signed, one of the promises that was made for him was... I mean, one of the agreements was that he was supposed to get a franchise eventually, which he did.
I don't think we knew that right away, though, that he was promised a franchise.
I think so. I think it was in the contract, actually.
Do we know about it, though? Like,
I'm pretty sure it's public news. I'd have to double check, like, the whole, like, I guess the whole transfer. But I'm pretty sure that I remember there being a mention of, hey, if you come here at some point, you can get a franchise. You just have to choose where. Miami makes the most sense, really, just because of the...
I mean, there was an opportunity there, so...
An opportunity there, yeah. Now, I don't know if he was. I don't know if I would say he revolutionized the league. I think that's a pretty big statement.
I'm not talking about like the quality of the game or whatever. Well, that too. But I feel like David Beckham is one of the biggest reasons why MLS is on the map right now. History-wise, like I can't point to one other player or person that has the impact that he had on the league, both as a player and as an owner.
Well, I mean, there's gonna be one.
Messi? I mean, okay, but I'm talking about until now. Like, Messi's not there without David Beckham.
Yeah, I'll put it like this. It was him coming to MLS was one of the biggest milestones to MLS. Would it be fair to say?
Like, Landon Donovan was, like, the MLS's biggest star, and nobody knew about him until David Beckham went there.
I mean, that's because he kept being loaned back and forth between Europe and LA Galaxy every time.
Well, that's what I'm saying. Like, David Beckham literally put the MLS on the map.
I mean, when you put it that way, you could say he was the first before Zlatan, before Henry, before Villa, stuff like that.
He was. Do all those players go to the MLS if David Beckham didn't go to LA Galaxy back in the day? No.
I think one of them would have.
No, they don't. They don't. We can speculate here and there or whatever, but nobody's doing that. He literally paved the way for all these future stars, retired stars, to go and consider it as an option.
I mean, I'm trying to think about it. You're making real, like, fair arguments. I just don't know.
Right, you don't got to refute me. You could agree with me at some point, you know?
Yeah, I know. I'm just trying to think, like, is he, like would the MLS be what it is? You're basically saying the MLS wouldn't be where it is today because of Beckham. Specifically because of Beckham. Is that it?
Yes, agreed.
But he's one of.
Well, I'm not saying, like, he's the only person that's important for the whole history of the league. I'm saying he's probably arguably the most important.
Yeah. I guess at the time
we're gonna end it here, but you can do some research offline, and you can come back to me. We can talk about our next pod episode.
All right, let's do that.
All right, we're if you made it this long, we really appreciate it. Kind of surprised, but really appreciate it. Hopefully, you enjoyed talking about all the transfers. Listen, by this time, by the next episode, when the next episode goes live, I hope we're talking about a Man United striker, because that's what I need right now. And hopefully we get to talk about an Mbappe destination. We got a couple of weeks left before the season starts, man. It's ramping up. Teams are getting in the groove. It's going to be exciting. So make sure you follow us on social media. Twitter, Instagram, Threads, TikTok, Forward.
We're not on Threads yet.
Soon on Threads. Forward_pressing, Forward Press Pod. Drop us a follow so we're notified every time the episodes go live. Because we're going to be talking about a lot of stuff in the coming weeks. So make sure you drop us a follow, and we'll see you next time. Thanks for being here, guys.
Peace.